Today we begin the season of Lent.
For many Christians, this means
a time of giving something up, what we typically refer to as fasting, or of taking on some new behavior, what we often refer to as some form of an act of piety. There is, of course, nothing wrong with either of these two things. As our Lord points out in our gospel lesson today, there's a place for both fasting and acts of piety in the Christian life. Jesus seems to assume that these will be things that we will do, based on his words, "So whenever you do," that presumes that we will do these things from time to time. But first of all, before we proceed any further with that, we need to be careful that we have not misheard Jesus. I need to say this because there have been times when I've heard Christians interpret this passage as though Jesus is speaking here against fasting and almsgiving. They seem to think that what Jesus is doing here is saying that these things don't matter anymore. You can do away with fasting. You can do away with almsgiving. But he's not. As I said a moment ago, Jesus seems to expect that we will do these kinds of things as Christians. What he's attacking, though, here in this gospel lesson, is the motive of the heart that lies behind each one of these actions. In other words, what Jesus is going after in the Sermon on the Mount, and that is where our gospel lesson is from today, is the ungodly motives that lie behind some of the things that we human beings do. It's the ungodly motives that lie behind some of the acts of piety that we often perform. That's where the problem lies. But in order to truly get at that, let's back up a minute and set the stage. As I mentioned a few seconds ago, the context of our gospel lesson today is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking these words to the disciples, that is, to the 12, and us as well in this day, those who had received his blessings through the words of the Beatitudes, and those who had been given new identities as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And after he bestows on them these new identities, or this new collective identity, he tells them that they need to have a righteousness that is greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees, which leads him to give an interpretation of the law that is much deeper than the interpretation that the scribes and the Pharisees were putting forward. To sum up that deep interpretation of the law, Jesus says, "Be perfect," or we could also translate this as "be whole" or "be complete," "therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect," or whole, or complete. In other words, we Christians are called to be people of absolute integrity who do everything from a heart that is full of faith and love toward God and love toward our neighbor. And that's not a comforting word at first, by the way. That's a striking word of law if you did not pick up on that. That's when Jesus begins the words that we just heard in our gospel lesson. In these words, he starts talking about the three great acts of Jewish piety: almsgiving, that is, giving to those who are in need, prayer, and fasting. These were the things in Jesus' day that were common religious practices amongst the Jewish people. And as I mentioned before, Jesus doesn't come along and say, "Forget about all these things. You don't need to pay any attention to that stuff anymore. They don't really matter after all." No, he seems to indicate that what he intends for us Christians is that we will indeed continue these types of practices. But he does so with an asterisk. And that asterisk is the motivation of the heart. You see, what was going on with the scribes, and they were the religious leaders of the day, and the Pharisees, who were actually, and I think we often don't realize this, they were lay people who were trying to lead a movement of reform in the church by getting everybody to strictly adhere to the law of Moses. What the scribes and the Pharisees were doing was that they had begun to do these acts of piety, almsgiving and prayer and fasting, with selfish and self-centered motives. They had begun to give alms to help the poor and needy in such a way that they drew attention to themselves, so that other people would praise them and give them accolades for having reached out to help the poor. They had begun to pray in such a way that people took notice and people began to applaud them for just how holy and wonderful and good their prayers were. They had begun to fast in such a way that people would look at them in their fasting, they would take notice, and they would be in awe of them. Boy, look at that John over there. Just look at how he's suffering for his faith, right? In short, they were doing all of these things in such a way that they were getting attention and approval from other people. That's why Jesus calls them hypocrites. Hupokrites is the Greek word, and hupokrites means a play actor. It was used of people who performed in plays. They are hypocrites. They are play actors. In other words, outwardly, they are doing acts of piety. Outwardly, everything looks good. But inwardly, there was selfish and self-seeking motives at work in their hearts. And as Jesus says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward. If you're looking for a round of applause from other people, that's exactly what you're going to get, Jesus says. But that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get any accolades or applause from God. On the other hand, Jesus says that his followers are not to be characterized by this type of behavior. Those who would be disciples of Jesus must not do what they do from a selfish or self-seeking motive of the heart. As he puts it, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Notice that. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. That's exactly what the scribes and the Pharisees were up to. Instead, what is to characterize all who would be disciples of Jesus are actions that are born out of a pure heart, out of a heart that is characterized by faith toward God and love toward our neighbors. That means giving to help to those who are in need in such a way that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. In other words, when you give secretly. You give quietly. It's between you and God alone. It's not between you and God and everybody else. It also means that when you pray, you go into your room and you shut your door and you pray to your Father who is in secret. In other words, prayer is not a spectator sport. Prayer is not about making yourself look good and pious and holy in front of other people so that other people take notice and give accolades. It's about talking with your Father in heaven. That's what prayer is. It's about laying out your hearts to Him, casting your needs and your worries and your cares and your concerns on Him. It's about pouring out praise and thanksgiving to Him for the good that He works in your life. Of course, and we need to be clear on this, Jesus is not ruling out public prayer here. That's been another misinterpretation laid at Jesus' feet. Jesus still advocates public prayer, but what He is ruling out is ostentatious prayer. That is, prayer for show. Prayer looking for accolades. And lastly, it means fasting, but fasting in such a way that no one can tell that you're fasting. Jesus says that His disciples are not to disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. One irony here, and I can't help but note this, on a day that we call Ash Wednesday, is that what Jesus accurately says in the Greek is that we are not to make ourselves invisible by smearing dust and ashes on our face. You see the bitter irony? I think the Protestant reformers were actually on to something when they stopped the imposition of ashes on Ash Wednesday. That is a much fuller conversation, and I'll leave it there for you. The point is that fasting is not a spectator sport either. Fasting is between you and God. So this is what true piety looks like to Jesus. And it's important that we hear this here at the start of this season of the church, a season that's generally characterized by acts of piety. In light of this, perhaps the best question we can ask ourselves as we enter this season of Lent is this. What is my motivation? Am I giving up sweets or alcohol or one meal a day or what have you
because I believe Jesus' words that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Or am I doing it because I personally want to lose some weight? Or I want everybody to feel some sympathy for me when they see that I've had to give up chocolate for 40 days. What's my motivation? Likewise, am I volunteering at the soup kitchen or homeless shelter because I'm looking for accolades, because I want people to notice how good of a person I am? Or am I doing it because I want to get a good feeling on the inside that I've actually helped someone? Or am I doing it because God has simply called me to love my neighbor? What's my motivation? And finally, am I taking extra time out this season to read God's word and pray more because I want people to see just how pious and holy I am? Or am I doing it because I do, in fact, believe Jesus' words that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? What is my motivation? Now, I think if we are nakedly honest with ourselves, our motives are often corrupt. A lot of times the things we do are driven by self-interest. And I would dare to say that that tends to happen more times than not. As the prophet Jeremiah puts it, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's the biblical diagnosis of the human heart. That's why today and the whole season of Lent is not ultimately about taking up acts of piety. Today and the whole season of Lent is really about repentance. It's about waking up to reality, and it's about admitting before God that we are self-centered creatures who tend to make things more about me than about him. In short, we tend to act more like the scribes and the Pharisees in our gospel lesson than we do the description of disciple that Jesus lays out in the Sermon on the Mount. So today is about openly and honestly acknowledging that before God. It's about openly and honestly admitting that we are sinners without qualification. No asterisks next to that. But that's also only half of the picture. Lent begins today on a day of repentance, but Lent ends with the cross and the resurrection. Lent ends with Good Friday and Easter. In other words, repentance is what the start of the season of Lent is all about, but it's not the end of the season of Lent. In the end, Lent is ultimately about the fact that Jesus, the very man who spoke these words to us here on the Sermon on the Mount, is the one who came into this world to bear our failures to actually heed his words the way that he demands they be heeded. He came to bear all of our failures, to bear them, to suffer them, to take all of our self-centeredness, all of our selfishness upon his shoulders and to die with it. To suffer it and die with it, to take it away from us. And in doing that, he wins for us forgiveness. He sets us free from the condemnation of God's law. In short, he gives this word to all of us who repent here today. I forgive you in full. That's what God says. And in giving us this forgiveness, he also gives us new life, and he gives us the promise of his Holy Spirit. And it is that Spirit that grants us all new hearts, hearts that are set free from the grip of selfishness, hearts that are set free from our grip of self-centeredness, hearts that are actually free because they are full of faith toward God and love for God, and they are full of love toward our neighbors. What that means is that by the Holy Spirit, we will begin to do acts of piety from the proper motivation, that is, from the place of faith and love. It's only by grace through faith that we are disciples of Jesus. He chooses us, we don't choose him. And it is only by his Spirit that we begin to act like the disciples of Jesus. Remember that. Lent is not about earning anything before God. Lent is about looking into our hearts, seeing what's really there, repenting of our sins, and hearing the gospel promise so that we might be set free from our sins and truly be the disciples of Jesus. To that end, May God go to work on your hearts during this season to bring you to repentance and faith for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.